What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, July 24th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the rogue one, a.k.a. the Bassmaster, Gary Whitta.
That's right. I'm the fucking Bassmaster now.
Jeez Louise, dude. I knew it was bad when when I saw you get bit by the Twitch bug. I was
yeah.
like, here we go.
You knew it was going to end badly.
Yeah, the bubble machine, the lights, and I was like, it's only a matter of time before he's streaming Mario Maker like everybody else.
No, but I've avoided
getting
doing
into
that.
The Fortnite, chasing the trends.
It's funny you should say that because I've actually tried to do the exact opposite. I've tried to do the opposite of what everyone... I'm not playing...
What successful
people
do.
You're not going to find me playing Fortnite. You're not going to find me playing... what was the one you just mentioned?
Mario Maker.
Mario. I mean, everyone's playing Mario Maker. How do you stand out in that crowd? To me, you stand out by doing something different to what everyone else
is
doing.
So go to the clip, Kevin. Show them what we got here. This is Gary
Whitta. This is from last night.
Is this a fishing hat?
Do we have sound?
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't over here, but it doesn't matter if they hear
it. Wait, where are we going? Okay. Yes! 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 Fuck you, fish!
How long did it take you to catch this fish?
See, then you see, I got a trophy there. Even yeah. you'll appreciate
I know,
that.
I know.
Got a trophy for catching my first fish.
Honestly, that's how I saw the clip. Is that I went to my mentions and somebody had added, had responded to this, being like, "Greg's gonna be so mad you didn't go into that trophy." How long did it take you to catch that fish?
Because you seem from starting the game, because I'd never played it before. So
what game is it, by the way?
So for anyone interested, that's a game called Fishing Sim World Pro Tour.
Of course it is. This is the one that had the hype trailer everybody was making fun
of. So I got into it because that trailer came out. PlayStation. Yeah. The game actually came out last year.
Okay.
But because there was a whole bunch of DLC, the official PlayStation account tweeted out this ridiculous... It's for a fishing game.
Yeah.
But the trailer is cut to make it look like fucking Madden or something, like a baller trailer.
Well, I'll pull that up for Kev as well.
And so I got into it. I got to check this out. I went onto PlayStation Store and found out that not only is it only a $20 game, but for PS Plus it's 20% off right now. So I picked the game up for $16. And I thought I'll play this one. So this could be something a bit different. We had a bunch of people in the stream last night and I did the tutorials and learned how to play the game. I actually had a couple of real anglers, like real fishermen in the channel.
Real anglers
They had never played the game, but they knew enough about angling that they were able to give me real tips on the game, like make sure that you're not holding the rod too high. And when you get
is it that much of a sim that
no,
you gotta,
I mean,
like,
it's totally sim. The sim is
there
like,
no tutorial? They like teach
no,
us?
I did they're video tutorials and there's a practice mode.
Okay.
And I was playing in practice mode and I was fishing for bass.
Yeah.
And there was a guy called Tootsie Roll Good who never played the game, but he knows enough about fishing and the game itself is accurate enough. He's like, oh yeah, that's a good kind of bait. You should use that. And
sure.
He helped me pick out the bait and then helped me cast my rod.
Okay.
Gave me good tips on how to handle my rod and all this kind of stuff.
Somebody has to.
Right?
You know what I mean?
And then he said, make sure that when you get a bite, you know, you've got, I can't remember what the term, but there's a term for it. You got to pull the line up, pull the rod up.
Okay.
And after about four or five unsuccessful attempts, I wanted many more than that actually, but about half an hour of unsuccessful fishing.
Sure. So it's just like real fishing.
I finally caught my first bass and you just saw the clip right there.
How many more did you catch from there on out?
I caught three fish total.
Wow.
Before I decided to move on to something else.
Okay.
But it's very, the funny thing about it is I kind of played it slightly kind of ironic. It's like a joke, like it's a fishing game.
Yeah.
By the time I was done.
You're in.
It hooks me, Greg.
Yeah.
It hooks me. It got me hook, line, and sinker for $20. If you have any interest in fishing, seriously, check out this game.
And if you're an audio listener, prepare. If you're a video listener,
here's the trailer that first got me interested.
Easy to find on. We're going to get claimed on this too, aren't we? But who cares? Because this is a trailer. Featuring Scott Martin.
All the legends of pro fishing.
Ali
Hamidi, carp guru. Career mode. They've got all the brands, all the big brands in pro fishing.
Yeah, this is huge. This is a big
whole
deal.
Career mode.
Like Chobot.
You got to manage your sponsorships and all that kind of shit.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's just like Madden, but with fish.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, and that's what we've all wanted.
The point I wanted to make is...
What is the point you wanted to make?
The point I wanted to make is I started playing it kind of as a bit of a joke.
Uh-huh.
But by the end of it, I actually did get kind of...
You're going to platinum it?
Into it.
You're going to be your first
platinum?
I
think a plat might be a bit too tricky, but with the positional audio of the fish splashing around...
Sure.
And the dual shot rumble,
yeah.
Like it's like you could really feel the fish pulling on the line and fighting you as you're trying to land it.
Yeah.
I got into it. I'm going to play it again on the stream.
There's a VR fishing one out there too. Real
is
fishing,
there?
Right? I think real fishing
sure.
VR is out there too.
But I really enjoyed this one. $20. Fishing Sim World Pro Tour. Go check it out.
Did it come with the hat or you had the hat?
You want to know the sad
truth? The hat looks like a kangaroo hat. When you're going on an Australian safari.
When I decided that I wanted to play the game, I went and got the hat.
There we are. It's happening. Right. You're full on Twitch streamer buying costumes. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about more video games, mainly the news, because we're talking about Nintendo doing things right by fans, Super Mario Maker making changes, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindafunnygames. You can leave your questions, comments, concerns, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping. Right now, there's a new party mode up on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. It's Mario Maker. Come see how terrible we are all at Mario Maker, because Andy is not here.
Mario Maker really is the game at the moment, isn't it? People are loving these creator-made courses. Just some of the stuff that people are making, it's insane.
It is insane. We're going to talk about Mario Maker in a second.
Okay.
So put a sock on all that.
All right.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Colton Yoder, Blackjack, and Mohammed Mohammed. Today, we're brought to you by Brooklyn and Experian, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Four items on the Roper Report.
Baker's dozen.
I've missed you, Kevin. I had Barrett all week, but you're back in the saddle.
I sure am.
Appreciate it, you know?
Yep.
Are you going to play that fishing game?
Me?
Yeah.
You know, Greg, there's a multiplayer mode. You and I could go fishing together.
Party mode? What are you doing?
You want me to come back? We'll do a party mode?
Yes, I do.
Let's do it. I'm in. I'll bring the hat.
I think, hold on, I'm looking at next week.
Bring the hat, bring some beers.
Well, can I buy a matching hat? Can you send me a link to buy a hat?
Yeah, I'll send you the link.
Just buy
it. It's like $11 on Amazon.
All right, okay, we have a
party mode. You get it in any color you want.
We have a party mode set right now for the 29th, Monday. Can you come in and do that?
That would be the one that we would do?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right, cool.
The 29th?
Yeah.
It's like 5 days
can
today.
Play? How many people can play?
That I don't know. We can
look into it.
We can
research that. Because right now, it's Cameron Cuff and Chloe Dykstra are in to do shows, and they were going to do party mode with us. If we can just all make this into a
boat.
Can
get them all to play Fishing Sim World?
Can we make this? Oh, yeah, 100%.
Well, the thing is, I know it's online, but I don't know if it's like local multiplayer.
Okay. Well, look into it. We can do in the back. If we have the ability to do a 4-player online. Andy will hate his life.
I think we should do it. I think we should do it.
Speaking of things you should do, Nintendo is doing right by fans when it comes to this Joy-Con drift thing. This is Patrick Klepek advice.
Good old Patrick.
Nintendo's got a problem on its hands. It's called Joy-Con drift, an issue where the analog sticks on the Switch's detachable controllers, called Joy-Cons, begin moving things on the screen on their own. Following the huge response to a report by Kotaku, it's become enough of an issue that Nintendo recently told customer service representatives the company will no longer charge customers seeking Joy-Con repairs and refund those who've already paid, according to internal documentation seen by Vice Games. Quote, customers will no longer be requested to provide proof of purchase for Joy-Con repairs, the internal customer service details say. Additionally, it is not necessary to confirm warranty status. If a customer requests a refund for a previously paid Joy-Con repair, confirm the prior repair and then issue the refund. The memo was provided to Vice Games by a source familiar with Nintendo's updated customer support documentation. We agreed to speak under the condition of anonymity because they are not authorized to speak publicly about Nintendo's internal process. Customer support representatives have been advised, according to the documentation, to guide Switch owners complaining about Joy-Con drift through troubleshooting steps, and if that doesn't solve the issue, there to issue a repair at no charge. Importantly, Nintendo is no longer seeking proof of purchase for said Joy-Cons or confirmation of an active warranty. In other words, the company is telling its customer service representatives that if someone says they're experiencing Joy-Con drift, believe them. Additionally, if someone previously paid for Joy-Con repairs, most reports from people who have contacted Nintendo in the past peg the price at $40. They can issue a refund. Quote: "We want to handle these situations to restore customers' smiles." The documentation reads. Yay!
Yeah,
a big company doing something right, Gary. What do you mean? Yeah, this is something you should be all excited about.
Well,
this
no, I'm excited, but like you know that I'm very, you know that me more than most, I'm very pro Nintendo. I love Nintendo. I love the stuff that I make. I do think, though, that the company is not perfect. They've got, you're drinking out of your little trophy mug there.
Oh,
very
impressive. I don't know if you heard, Gary. I got 100 platinum trophies. No big deal.
Did you hear that? 100.
Did you hear? Did that make it to the UK news feeds?
The UK news feeds?
Gary,
like, was it
Gary,
on like the BBC?
Yeah, I assume you only read the UK news feeds.
Yeah, you're
so right. You
and Boris Johnson are
right
up
there. I was
right
going to say, you got this Boris guy nobody
likes. We've got our own problems. So no, it's a good thing. But I guess my question to you is this. I like I love Nintendo in terms of the content they make. I love the hardware, the games they make. They're brilliant. But they do also do a lot of stuff wrong, like friend codes and the way that they handle online multiplayer is ridiculous. System transfers and like, a lot of things aren't very consumer friendly, and they don't always message things well. My question to you is: it seems, given that Nintendo still hasn't made an official statement on this, it seems like that they were resisting helping consumers with this for a while, and it's only now because of this. I guess my question is, do you think that they're only now doing this because of the outcry?
Yes.
It seems like they wouldn't have got there on their own.
Welcome, and I'm not even being facetious, to the power of journalism.
Yes.
Why should people be reporting on these things? Why should they be talking about crunch? Why should they? Because when they do, people pay attention. Companies have to pay attention.
Yeah, and journalism!
Yeah, journalism! That's right, Barrett, Mizzou, everybody go there. It's not even, I think, devious on Nintendo's part. It is that idea of like, hey, we're getting some reports of this Joy-Con drift thing, right? How big of a problem is it? We don't know. Just stick with the normal customer service protocol of send it and it's $40 and we'll get it repaired and send it back. Or, you know, it'll take a couple weeks and that sucks. But hey, sorry, you got a defective thing that is that way. For, you know, Kotaku to do the reporting they did, come on and talk about it. I believe it was Gita. Kevin, can you check that? That might be hard, actually, for you just to pull out. If you go to the Vice article, it had a link. You can go in there. I just want to give proper... But to do that article from a big outlet and then have the overwhelming response to that article be, hey, yeah, I've seen this too. It's happening to me as well.
They shouldn't be charging people. Look, is it a 1-year warranty on a Switch? I'm guessing that's pretty standard,
probably,
right?
Yeah,
right?
But now,
if your Joy-Con starts drifting on the 366th day,
yeah,
which I'm sure it's happened to some people. I'm lucky that I've been immune to this, but it does sound like a widespread problem. If your joystick starts fucking around on the one day after the warranty expires and they want to charge you $40 for a repair, yeah, I think you have a right to be pissed. Well, and it says here, if someone says they're experiencing Joy-Con drift, believe them. Why not believe them? Like, it's a huge hassle for me to send my Joy-Con to you and not have a Joy-Con for however long it takes you to repair or replace it. Like, why would I lie about that? I mean, I guess maybe like I did something else. Maybe I shoved the Joy-Con up my asshole or something.
Jesus,
and that fucked it up. And like, now I need it fixed
there?
And that wouldn't be covered under the warranty.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, how many people are doing? I mean,
a lot
knows?
Of people are
who
doing
who knows
it?
What people are getting up
have
to in the privacy
felt
of their own
HD
homes?
Rumble in
That's
your
right.
hand?
That's
you're
right.
Tell me you're not playing the Ice Cube game with your Joy-Con.
A Joy-Con could basically be a flashlight that you shove up your ass.
Exactly.
Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
Who knows?
All right.
Hey,
Jesus
Kevin.
Third party app makers, get on it.
I know, Kevin, you like to be closeted about your sexuality and you like to be all prim and proper. But like, I'll let you know, if the Joy-Cons would have been in my day and age when I was coming of age, a horny little Greggy out there rubbing himself
on
everything.
You would have experimented.
You would have wanted to know, right?
Yeah.
We all let the DualShock get a little too close. You know what I mean? We didn't even know what's happened.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
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 Exactly.
But this is exciting. Like, my little brother, I bought him a Switch, and I bought him the one with the blue Joy-Cons.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And after, 3 months, they broke. I happen to have an extra.
Did they break because of drifting or something else?
Yeah, the right one drifts.
Gotcha.
And also, it was the, you know, the issue where they, slide up and pop out?
Yeah.
That happens super
easy. Oh, they're just, popping off?
And you were supposed to send it back to get that fixed or something, but never did. But now, they're like, oh, well, if your warranty is expired, it doesn't matter. You can still send it back, and it's free. I'm going to have to look that up because I have the two Joy-Cons in my house.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nanobiologist in kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong confirms Nintendo Switches have a 12-month warranty, while accessories and games sold separately have a 3-month warranty only. The warranty covers manufacturer and worksman defects at no.
So if you buy additional Joy-Cons, you've got only three. You would have only 3 months of warranty coverage.
Something going wrong. Yeah.
I mean, obviously not now because Nintendo's going to do the right thing. Will Nintendo make an official announcement on this? Because we're reporting on leaked documents. Will Nintendo officially announce a new policy regarding this?
It's an interesting question.
It's not necessarily in Nintendo's interest to come up with a big statement going, 100%. Hey, we know that our Joy-Cons are fucked up.
Because now you got everybody like Kevin over there who's making it up. He's just calling and he wants a new Joy-Con because they pop off.
And maybe
off.
It puts people off buying a Switch. Oh, yeah, I heard that the Joy-Cons
Kevin
are
put
not
some
good.
Joy-Cons up his butt and now he doesn't want to, you know, that's what broke him, but he's going to try to act like it's this thing now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's what'll be interesting is, I would say, no, they were not going to announce this and make a big deal about it. Now that Vice and Klepek have put out the memo, has it forced their hand, or did they let it go?
I think it probably has.
I still think you could just let it go. I still think you could just, I mean, because right now, if you are affected by the Joy-Con drift, and it is annoying enough that you have gone online or support or whatever, you're probably going to see this article, you're probably going to hear about this, you can get a refund now and all these different things.
Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood you. I thought you meant has it forced their hands in terms of addressing the issue. Obviously it has.
Oh, addressing the issue,
but
I don't
think it's necessarily forced their hands in making a public statement.
They're not going to do a tweet or anything of hey, if you're experiencing
this. They're doing
this.
The right thing.
Of course. Yeah, good to see.
But again, they had to be made to do that. Somebody had to help hold their feet to the fire.
Here's something I want to bring up, Mr. Witta.
Yeah.
It might be an unpopular opinion with the video game kids. I'm not sure.
Mm.
You said it, though, and I want to address it.
Okay.
Are friend codes that big of a deal anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'll give you an example. Yeah. I wanted to add you. Like, you and I can't remember. I think you and I may not be...
For Ultimate Alliance, I know we wanted to add each other.
Yeah, we want to add each other. Now, if you want to add me on Xbox or PlayStation, it's an easy thing to do. My gamer tag and my PSN name is just Witta.
Yeah.
And that's an easy thing for me to remember.
Sure.
And I can give that to you right away.
Yeah.
When I saw you were playing Marvel Ultimate Alliance and I wanted to play with you, I had to get my friend code. Yeah. And the only way to do that was to fire up the Switch and go like four menus deep to find it. Like, that is bullshit. Why should
face.
I have to do that?
You click on your face.
Yeah. But why should I have to do that, though?
I don't have a good answer for you. I too think it'd be cooler just to pick a name and be done with it.
Yeah.
But with Ultimate Alliance in particular now, it's for the first time, I think, since I got the Switch that I'm like, oh, shit, I need to add people.
Yeah.
And so it has been that thing of like, hey, send off my friend code to whoever. You know, there's the request. Like, it hasn't been as big a pain in the ass. It could be easier for sure.
Back in the Wii U days, I actually used to have my friend code written, saved on my phone, like in the Notes app.
Yeah.
So I could easily access it when people ask me what my friend code is. If I didn't have access to my... Like, let's say you and I are talking on chat, I'll add you. What's your friend code? If I don't have my Switch with me, I can't give it to you.
Right, yeah.
If I don't have it memorized or written down somewhere. That's
remember
not cool.
The old days it used to be, too. I remember the DS. I loved the not UPC code. What's the QR code?
You could just beam it to one another, right?
Yeah. Like, I wish the Nintendo app did that. I wish that it had my...
Why doesn't the app... Can you add friends on the app?
No, the app sucks. I don't even know what I think. I've never even opened it. I think I use it to talk through Splatoon, right?
I hate it. It's like, why can't I copy and paste a code that I have and get a game instead of using the ridiculous keyboard?
Is it just you can do that.
You can.
You can enter a code online through the Nintendo portal.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
No. Online, not on the app.
Not on the app, to my knowledge. Now I got to re-sign in because I haven't used this thing in forever.
Online changing stuff, though.
Yeah, online is changing shit,
yeah,
Kevin.
Let me get a Marvel Alliance code, then.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right.
Is it just me or is it hot in here this morning?
Oh, it's hot.
Isn't it hot in here?
Open the
well,
door?
The fan's usually on.
Oh, no, but hotter than usual.
The KFAF couches are over there.
You want me to open the door?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, a little breeze wouldn't go
amiss. You're going to open the door and get a bag of Cheetos. That's your plan right now. That's the show we're running this morning. All right, cool. I am about to. Well, I'm trying to log into the stupid Nintendo app. Now I got to find all the traffic lights in the stupid Google search. You never do that?
I hate when you have to prove you're a real human.
Yeah, so annoying.
And the thing is, like the one I get is like, show me, click on all the images that have cars
said,
in
hold
them.
On,
hold on, everybody, I said hold on. WWE superstar Xavier Woods is calling me in the middle of this.
Answer.
WWE superstar Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed, host of Up Up Down Down. You're on Kinda Funny Games Daily. What's happening?
A.K.A. The Committee.
Okay, yeah, we don't advertise that as much anymore.
Low energy on that one.
He sounds sick.
Yeah. Is he sick?
Are you sick?
He's still going. God bless him.
Gregory, young Gregory, how are you?
I'm good. Me and Kevin are concerned. Are you sick?
Oh, no, I'm great. How are you, Kevin? You good?
God, I miss you.
He misses you.
Does he know he's live right now?
Did you get the tank top?
He knows he's live. Gary Witt is here, too. It's Witta Wednesday.
Oh. Hey, Gary, what's going on?
What's up, Austin? Good to hear from you.
Joy-Con Drifts. Wanted to call in and say hello.
Hey, thanks for watching.
Of course, you know me. I also have some very important news.
Oh, breaking news.
My YouTube channel, Up Up Down Down, we just recently hit 1.95 million subscribers. We're trying to get to 2 million, so I just want to let all the best friends know that we would love your help over at Up Up Down Down to help us get to 2 million subscribers.
Did he really call into a live show?
Did you call in to just do an ad on our live show?
100%. You've taught me well.
God, I respect it. I respect it.
We have like a quarter of the
remember,
phone.
Greg, if you're not making moves,
you're standing still.
That's right.
Damn.
That's
all right. Well, I'm going to pay this back one day when you're doing something live. I'm calling you on Monday on SmackDown.
By all means, please.
All right. Well, everybody subscribe to Up Up Down Down. They're close to 2 million subs.
All right.
Bye. All right. Love you. Bye.
You got to admire the hustle, Greg.
I do. I mean, yeah, I did teach him how to pimp his thing. That's,
wow.
That's a new one by me.
What have you created?
That's one by me. He just showed me, an old dog, how to do new tricks.
I'm so impressed.
He just called our show to advertise his YouTube channel.
But also, like, we have
We don't have 2 million.
Audience,
We don't have 2 million.
Now that he's opened the door, now that I know that that's a thing, and given that you call me.
That's fair.
That you bug me live on the show all the time, you call me at home when I'm trying to work, do shit.
You're not working.
Sometimes I might be taking a shit.
Yeah, I know that. I believe.
You have no one. You never know what I'm going to be doing.
I don't know.
You get through to me,
but you always answer because you're Gary Witta.
Can I just say, by the way, after the fact, I did go and look at that whole story. I'm really embarrassed for my countrymen that of all the people, the
it
British
really
people you called, about the Magna Carta. I was the only one who fucking knew what the Magna Carta was.
Honest to God, I knew about it.
You knew? Yeah. Okay.
It's really
embarrassing. I was talking to Leah about it today in the car, and I was telling her about the Magna Carta thing. I said, I wouldn't expect an American to know what the Magna Carta is.
I do remember learning about it. I don't remember retaining the information, but I do remember learning.
I actually contended in my conversation with Lita that most Americans could not tell you what the Bill of Rights is.
That's no, come on.
What's the Bill of Rights?
Are you kidding me?
What is the? I'm asking you right now. What's Kevin the Bill of Rights? Sure
no, I know. It's the like the 10 first amendments.
Correct. It's the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. Right, congratulations, yeah. Kevin. Got the right answer.
Yeah.
But I bet you that most Americans could not tell you that.
It's the you think they can...
They would just say, oh, it's like some rights or some bullshit, but they wouldn't know the specific answer, which is the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. The original. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting that they like wrote the Constitution and immediately were like, oh, you know what? No, we fucked this up.
Yeah, I mean, not to get too political or historical on you, but that to me... is the great genius of the framers is that they knew that it was not perfect and they intended it to be a living document that could always be fixed and amended and made better over time.
Yeah.
That was the real genius of it. Anyway.
It's crazy the election.
Back to our regularly scheduled program.
Back to our regularly scheduled program. God, he just called the show to advertise.
I'm so impressed by that.
Number two, Super Mario Maker 2 course upload limit has doubled. This is Matt Kim at IGN.com. The number of courses you can upload in the Super Mario Maker 2 course designer has just been doubled. You can now upload 64 courses, up from 32. In the news tabs for Super Mario Maker 2, an important notice from the developers now says that the maximum number of courses that you can upload has been increased from 32 to 64 courses. This means players and course designers can now share more of their work online at any given time. Nintendo also says that it plans to increase the course upload limit one more time after this, so there's a chance this number may double again.
Oh, wow.
Nintendo has also announced that over 2 million courses have been uploaded already. That number will likely grow now that the course upload limit has been raised. Players have been creating some very imaginative Mario levels, and a quick crawl through the Mario Maker subreddit will uncover some hidden gems.
This is very positive news. You know, Mario Maker is obviously, like I said, it's the game of the moment right now. People are loving making courses. People are loving discovering and playing the creator-made courses. Again, it's huge on Twitch now. You know, Patrick Klepek with his Mario Maker Mondays, Mornings, very, very popular. Andy Cortez, basically, his whole Twitch brand right now is Mario Maker.
He for years and years and years, he struggled being nobody. And now he's doing these Mario Maker.
We've got people like Dan Riker out there right now putting out these devious courses. I didn't know this, but this was a thing on Mario Maker 1. My kid discovered it and introduced me to it. She found a whole new world of these auto Mario courses. Have you seen them? You don't even play them.
Like a Rube Goldberg machine?
Yeah, it's basically you don't do anything. Mario just bounces. It's set up in a way that Mario just automatically progresses through the course.
Yeah.
And he is like an elaborate Rube Goldberg machine.
That's cool.
And the level of ingenuity has really been quite brilliant.
Now, you said you're not streaming it. You're not getting on that gravy train.
No.
Are you playing it at all? Are you interested in it?
I've been playing it, but I've only been playing this. I've just been playing the story
Nintendo
mode.
Stuff?
Yeah.
That's in between Moonlighter and before Ultimate Alliance, I jumped into the story stuff and I did it too.
I mean, for me, the Nintendo made courses are difficult, and I don't need to play like let's see how fiendishly difficult we can make this course.
And that's the
courses.
Thing about it. When don't get me wrong, I love watching Andy's clips from twitch.tv/AndyCortez, where he dies and screams and runs out of his chair and jumps on his bed, like which all really happens.
I do like watching Andy rage quit,
but that's the
fun.
Thing is, like I watch that and my anxiety gets going. The party mode that's up on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames right now, and it'll be on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames tomorrow, is us playing Mario Maker. And it's that thing where...
And were you playing user-designed courses?
Yeah, we play through Andy's, we play through some other people. Tim brought in some ones that are, you know, here's, let's go basic challenge. We're doing the random ones, all this shit. And I'm terrible because, first off, I was raised a Sega kid, so I don't have that Mario 2D side-scrolling muscle memory period, let alone the fact that I just don't enjoy that pixel perfect, like, oh, I didn't have the right speed and I jumped 1 second too late. Like, that's not, I don't like those kind of games. That's not what I want to do, right? And I respect you liking, but watching Andy do it, watching him get so spun up, him coming in and being like, yeah, I beat three courses.
I mean, you're really suffering for
hours.
Your art at that point.
Yeah, no way, please.
I just want to say how grateful I am that we live. Let me point this somewhere else in the multiverse, Greg, right now, you and I are hosting in a different parallel dimension, Kind of Funny Games Daily.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking, one of us is saying to the other one, you know what would be amazing? Wouldn't it be great if like Nintendo released a game where you could make your own Mario courses and share them with other people? Like, why don't we have that? We get to live in that reality.
Right.
We're so lucky that we have amazing shit like this. I 100%. Love the ingenuity. Did you see the one that went viral that was just nothing but Just a hellscape of the big the spinning thing,
fire. It was World War One, right? And it just said World War One with a twist or whatever.
It was just awful.
There's a new one that I saw. I think it was on our... Yeah, it's on our the Kind of Funny subreddit. Somebody reposted it.
Yeah.
And it's a level called Trust No One.
Okay.
And what it is it's a four-player level, and it's literally just a line of red bricks and then just solid bricks and then the flagpole. And then there's the switch right there, so you have to figure out how to get there. Like, you're going, but you have to have somebody hit the red button and kill each other and do all these different things.
My kid, who's seven, she just turned seven. She's a genius. She's been making her own courses.
Really?
She gave me one the other day. She titled it herself. The title of the course was Solution Die. That was the name of the course she came up
with. That's great. I mean, this is what I loved about Little Big Planet. You know, yeah. I love the people getting creative. I loved it with Mod Nation Racers.
It's teaching people about game. They're learning to design. They're learning about good game design practice.
And that's what's so cool is that it's finally got an audience. You know, and I'm not even jokingly talking shit about the Wii U, right? Like, Wii U limited where that game was going to go. The first Mario Maker was really cool, really great idea, right? But it wasn't on the super popular
system. No, it was limited by the fact it was only on the Wii. I guess later the 3DS. But like,
yeah, but even 3DS it
was never going to blow up on those platforms.
Yeah, exactly. It was going to find an audience to have a thing, but it wasn't going to be mainstream. Yeah. Like, because it's 3DS, right? How are you going to stream that, right?
Right. It worked out perfectly in the way, because Mario Maker 1, even though it wasn't on popular platforms, allowed them to, you know, try things, and so when Mario Maker 2 comes along, they've refined it, and now it's on the more popular platform, and now Mario Maker is finally getting the attention it deserves.
It's going to be interesting to see the legs on it, how long it hangs out, how long it sticks out, how long it is a Twitch game people really want to watch.
I mean,
really,
you know, there's always a new flavor of the month on Twitch, but I feel like Mario is such a big thing, and the Mario Maker course designer is so easy and fun to. I mean, look at what's out there already. I think as long as people have cool ideas, there's going to be a market for it.
Sure, but I wonder how, like, right now it's huge. Right now you can't get away from it. Everybody's putting up clips of it. I wonder how long that zeitgeist lasts.
I don't know, it'll be in the zeitgeist constantly, but I think there will always be. I think now we're potentially looking at years of there being, like, I think two or three years from now, you'll be able to go online and there'll still be a bunch of
streaming.
Not just streaming, but like a bunch of new Mario Maker courses. That week. Like, people are going to be making these for a long time.
People are still making Little Big Planet stuff. Dreams and all that jazz. Number three, ladies and gentlemen, we always talk about things that are bad on the internet and bad things that developers have to tweet. These are a bunch of good tweets. Okay. Control has gone gold. The director of Control, Mikhail Kasurin, writes in or put up a tweet that says, "It's done." Or it is done. New IP, new tech, new game structure, new direction, three platforms, and 3 years. What an achievement from the best dev team on the planet at Control Remedy. Remedy Communications Director quote tweeted that. This is Tomas Pua. In 3 years, so much new stuff. Pretty incredible we were able to pull it off at high quality. Game is pretty big too, and definitely different. Less than 100 people internally on average, thanks to all the external developer help and 505 Games. And then the principal animation director, Avil Rusweet. It's been quite a ride. Big tech challenges. We lost animation middleware and wrote new from scratch, which depends heavily on motion matching. It was big risk, but I think we nailed it. Proud of our team, ex and current ones.
Why don't I know anything about this game? What is Control?
You don't know anything about Control?
No, it's gone under my radar.
Here comes the pitch. All right. Okay. First off, Andy Cortez in love with it. Greg Miller, very excited for it.
I mean, I like Remedy.
Exactly. So you know Remedy, right? Yeah. You know Alan Wake, original Max Payne guys, right? Quantum Break. Control is another one. It's going to be a single player, narrative, story-driven game, right? The idea is that you are now the director. You're this character, this female with red hair. Kind of looks like Andrea. Did they rip off her image? I don't know. We'll see if John Drake sues.
Oh, might she have like a little Ellen Page Last of Us lawsuit in the works?
Maybe. Perhaps. We'll see when we get there.
Okay.
But you've been promoted to the director of Control, and it's the Bureau of Control. It's a federal bureau in the government, right? That is basically like, we know there's another dimension. We know there's all this supernatural shit. We have a official Bureau of Control.
Okay.
You get promoted like the day everything goes fucking haywire. And people are coming from and people are flying around. And it's this... what I love about it is when I'm playing, you're playing through, like, I forget what they call it, like the house or something. But when you're walking through the house, which is the giant office building, right? It's huge and it's cavernous and it's like... you know, it's devoid of life, right? It's these like concrete slabs and this like really art deco look to it. And I feel like the environments make you feel small. But then as you go, you have this pistol that you're upgrading and it's like a supernatural pistol. So it's got all these different modes and it changes and it rotates. You only have one gun, but it has a bunch of different modes. So it looks different.
All right.
Then you start getting the abilities so you can fly, your telekinesis, throwing things around. It seems like a super weird, crazy game.
Sounds
good.
Bunch
of like dark shit.
I'll have to check out a trailer or something when I get back.
Yeah, you do. You do. Yeah, why not? We're talking about Control.
Take a look.
For the record, Control didn't sponsor this. We're all just legitimately excited for it. And Remy's always been good to us.
I don't know why I've never heard of
they
it.
They came to the spare bedroom back in the day with Quantum Break.
Greg, serious question. Is this game going to be scary?
Yes. Oh, I don't think it's going to be scary like...
Is that not like a good thing for you?
Does this not look scary? I think it's going to be scary
it
like...
It does look scary.
It looks like it's meant to be scary.
There's blood everywhere. Why did I think about
this? It's not your cup of tea, Kevin?
It was the oldest house. Got it.
I get real scared. Real scared.
Leah might like this.
If you want to survive.
Like, what's up with that guy?
Oh, she will. Yeah, totally.
You know? That doesn't look right.
No, something's gone wrong there. Third person?
Whoa, look at her flying. She had the force.
See? Look how beautiful it looks, too.
Oh,
so she's got all kinds of powers. Okay.
Yeah, because you're getting them from the break in reality or whatever the hell
they call
it.
Right.
But it seems like, I've played it a couple times, and what it gives off to me is... Here is a really weird Remedy game, which I'm totally down for.
Reminds me a little bit of Half-Life 2 with the gravity gun.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I think it's going to be rad. I hope it's going to be rad. From what I've played, I like
so it. It's gone gold. When is it coming out?
Oh, Andy said yesterday. It was a month from yesterday, I think.
All
something
right.
to that effect.
And on all platforms, yeah, it said?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You're all set. All well, right. not Switch, but, you know.
No, but Xbox, PlayStation, PC?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Final news. Hold on. Try not to sneeze.
Get it out.
No, I'm not going to.
Get it out.
I'm gonna let it. Oh, maybe it's coming.
You'll explode.
Oh god, it might be coming.
The hell was that?
Hey, give him a second.
Bless what was that?
That's how I sneeze.
That's how you sneeze.
It's like a machine gun, but slow.
That was like a puppy sneeze. That's like a puppy sneezes.
It's like a shotgun that's been like an automatic shotgun that has a silencer on there.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if it was a cough or a sneeze.
Yeah, a lot of people say that.
Like a hybrid.
That. Yeah,
that's fucked up. Yeah. I've never seen that before.
The antibiologist says Control's release date is August 27th, so not exactly a month. Andy sucks, and he also says bless you, sucks. Thank you. Final story. Harry Potter mobile numbers are in and they're still down from where Pokemon Go is. No shock, really. Matthew Handrahan from GamesIndustry.biz reports, Niantic's Harry Potter Wizards Unite earned $12 million in its first month, according to estimates from Sensor Tower. However, while that is more than any other mobile game in the location-based AR category, it is still very far short of Niantic's previous release, Pokemon Go. Sensor Tower's estimate for Pokemon Go's launch month revenue is around $300 million, almost 30 times the amount earned by Wizards Unite in the same period of time. Harry Potter is also far behind in terms of downloads, with 15 million compared to Pokemon Go's 182 million. The new game is still ahead of other games and similar mobile games, such as Ludia's Jurassic World Live and Next Game's The Walking Dead Our World.
They're not even mentioning that Ghostbusters game.
I know, weird. They just probably didn't want to compare it to Ghostbusters World. Very interesting. Wizards Unite had more than double the downloads of Jurassic Alive, which had 6.5 million, but it was only slightly ahead of that game's $10.3 million first month revenue. Interesting. Are you playing any of these games?
No, I played Pokemon Go when it first came out for like 5 minutes. My kid was really into it for like 5 minutes.
Sure.
How was that Golden Gate Park meetup thing that you did?
Great community day. We're going to talk about it on Gamescast.
Was that something
tomorrow.
That was officially organized by the Pokemon people?
So or in Pokemon the community Go, they do that? Community days.
Okay.
And so they advertise, hey, it's community day. And like, so from, it was 4 to 7 everywhere their local time.
Yeah.
That they were going to be spawning a whole bunch of Mudkips and all these different things and double X, triple XP maybe. And so, yeah, we went out and went out into the streets, Jen and I, because we're obsessed now. And we walked through the park as we often do. And sure enough, dude, just
a lot of people.
Dozens of people. I couldn't believe it. It was like,
Well, I remember when the game first came out, there were all these viral clips of people going nuts in Central Park and stuff.
Sure.
I didn't realize. I mean, that's
did you not experience
that's
it yourself?
Died off. I mean, I did when we were driving around the city when it first came out. You'd see a bunch of people like congregated around an area with their phones, mm-hmm. and you just go, "Oh, that must be like a gym or a Pokestop."
That was my
or
thing. Is like, you know, so you. I'm sure you've caught it on Gamescast, of course. But Jen,
of course, I never miss a minute of your content, Greg.
Jen and I fell back into it, right? And
right.
Like we fell, and I'm in harder than I've ever been in before.
Okay,
because I remember
that happen? How'd you get back into it?
It was a very nerdy conversation, as my wife and I tend to have about the video games industry, where we went to breakfast and we're walking home, and we were talking about video games, obviously, and talking about mobile stuff, and then we started talking about the Go games. It might have been piggybacking off of Harry Potter. And then we're talking about Pokemon, and we're talking about the numbers of it and how it's going. And it's crazy that it's still going. And while we started talking, I broke it back out because I hadn't been on in forever. And because I never got addicted. Jumped back in, and then she's like, are you, like 15 minutes later, are you playing the game right now? I'm like, I guess so. Yeah, there's a lot of shit to do. And she jumped back in, and then we were both in.
It's so funny.
Every morning now, we've been waking up and going out, getting a cup of coffee at the local coffee shop, walking around, doing our thing.
So you know where all your local Pokestops are and everything?
Of course, I do. Yeah, you kidding me? And so, yeah, but I thought, I was like, when we were playing it, even, I was like, we'll pass people in the park that are playing it on a normal day. I'm like, oh, that's really neat. That's interesting. And then, like, one time we were walking, and there was a woman in front of us, and Jen was just like, watch. She's playing Pokemon Go. I'm like, no, she isn't. And sure enough, every time she had her earbuds in, and I didn't know this at the time, that you could have it where it makes noises. I have everything on mute. So she was walking with her phone in her hand. And sure enough, when you get close to a Pokestop, there's a noise. She did open up, hit it, put it back in her pocket. You know what I mean? It's just like, fuck. So anyways, all this, I was like, this is awesome. It's crazy there's still a community like that for it. But, you know, it sucks that when it was crazy when it launched, because I remember walking around our sleepy Sunset neighborhood way out in the avenues, right?
I remember where you were, yeah.
And like, I remember when that game dropped, people everywhere, every street corner, running around, kids. I was like, what is going on? Nobody's ever out like this. And it was like such a movie.
I remember. I was like, it was crazy.
And I was like, oh, man, I wish I could have been. I wish I was a part. I cared, but I don't. And so now it's been that thing of like, oh, now I care, but it's not as, it doesn't seem as popular. But community did.
No,
it.
I mean,
community
I remember people are full get ups. I used to see all around the city, but I remember in particular there was this viral clip that went around. It was a thing, in like a very rare Pokemon had spawned in Central Park. And it was like a scene from World War Z. Do you remember this? Like people flooding into the park to get this rare Pokemon. It was crazy.
I had seen it here in SF where it was like I was doing a brunch at Kevin, help me out.
Give me a little bit more.
Gifted Dim and Re, their reception. We took them to
Park Chalet.
Park Chalet.
I like Park Chalet.
It was Beach Chalet, but it doesn't matter.
Same thing, same location.
We were outside for a brunch one day, and sure enough,
it's a nice place to have brunch.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. And all of a sudden, it was like, kids started coming in left and right and just going to this bush. Like they were like, and it was like, they're coming out finally. They were like, I don't know.
There is. So that location is actually one of the places I was referring to when I say we'd see people congregate, because there's a gym there.
Yeah.
And it's a very popular location for Pokemon fiends.
And that was the thing is like, again, weeks ago or throughout the years, I guess now I'll see them in my neighborhood gathered on a certain thing. I'm like, oh, they're all on like people with two phones. I'm like, all right, whatever. And now it's that thing of like, oh, hey Jen, there's going to be a raid in 10 minutes. You want to go out? You want to do this thing? It's fun.
Video games, man.
Keeps you. Gary,
come on, let's hear the segue.
I can't wait to see if Harry Potter turns it around and beats Pokemon Go. Spoiler alert, it won't. But that information is still so far away. If I wanted more immediate news, like say what came to the mom and pop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Out today, Golden Treasure, The Great Green. Out now on Steam. I guess it's just The Great Green. Ranked mode and gamepad support have arrived for Heavy Metal Machines. PUBG Season 4 is now live on PC. Pawarumi is on Xbox One and Switch. Battleship is on Switch. Rise, Province is on PC. Champions is on PC. Dark Data is on PC and Mac. Ancient Battle Alexander is on PC and Mac. Break My Body is on PC and Mac.
We gotta pull that one, Kevin. What is that?
Give me 2 seconds. I'll okay. Work on it.
Sounds sexy. Break My
Break
Body.
Break My Body.
Yeah, you know. New dates for you. Citadel Forged with Fire comes to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Steam October 11th. Then deals of the day for you. Moonlighter and This War of Mine are going to be free on the Epic Games Store tomorrow through August 1st.
This War of Mine in particular is worth getting.
Moonlighter is worth getting. Okay, maybe they're both worth getting. Because This War of Mine I didn't get into, but I remember liking it at preview events. When it actually dropped it in. And Moonlighter, of course, an addiction for me. Also, the Kinda Funny Video Game Club Game of the Month for patreon.com/kindafunnygames. Gilly Brums writes in with the deal of the day and says, amongst all the great deals in the PlayStation Summer Sale, I did want to point out Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2 is on sale for 95% off. Less than a dollar, Greg. The deluxe edition with some extra customization options and coins is only a quarter more at $1.24. It's a great shooter for an insane price. Thank you, Gilly Brums. Kevin, did you find Break My Body?
Maybe.
All right. Kevin's working on it. Oh, here it is.
Oh, it looks like
break
he's
my
got
body
it. He's
gameplay.
Got it. Okay.
Here it is.
I don't all know right. if this is it, though.
It says Break My Body
I mean,
gameplay.
How many games out there? How many games can there be out there called Break My Body?
Oh, is it a brick breaker?
It's a fucking Arkanoid game?
Wow.
But that's the thing. I'm not sure. Give me 1 second.
Hold on. What platform?
It looks like it's got a medical.
PC and Mac. Blank.
It looks like it's got like a Dr. Mario kind of thing. There's a surgeon guy over there on the right.
It says inject serum.
It seems like there's also good cells.
Inject the serum.
But there's also.
Wait, what was that? What was that one?
That is.
There was some weird looking shit down there.
How does that even remotely? You said, that one says I broke all the bones in my body and it hurts. Roblox.
You're right. Didn't read the headline.
Speaking of reading, Gregue, it's time for reader mail. But first, let me tell you about our sponsors. Up first is Experian. You know, the better your credit score, the easier it is to get the stuff you want or the less you have to pay. So the question is, why is it so hard to raise your credit score? Now, it won't be thanks to Experian. They've launched Experian Boost, a brand new way to instantly increase your credit scores for free. A higher credit score can help you establish and get access to credit and preferred rates for the things you want and need in life. Experian is on a mission to help boost America's credit score, which will help millions of people across the country build and get better access to credit. People all across America have already raised their credit scores with Experian Boost, and you should too. For the first time ever, paying your utilities and cell phone can instantly improve your credit score. Experian Boost works by giving you credit for the bills you're already paying through your bank account, like water, gas, electric, cable, and cell phone. It used to take months to see your credit score rise a point or two, but with Boost, you can increase your credit scores instantly. Boost is free to use and only available from Experian. When I screwed up my credit score by missing a payment on a credit card and not knowing it for years, this would have helped me get out of the hole, Gary. We can't believe it's taken somebody this long to figure it out. So, what are you waiting for? Experian Boost can potentially help you establish or increase your access to credit, boost your FICO score instantly for free. Boost is only available at Experian.com/KFGames. That's Experian.com/KFGames. Up next is Brooklinen. Making your home beautiful is the ultimate form of self-care, and you spend a third of your life in the sheets. Don't you want them to be insanely comfortable? Brooklinen knows you do. Greg Miller knows you do. I sleep on Brooklinen sheets. I love them. They're great, and they keep expanding. Like right now with their warm weather. So everything right now, right? It's hot out there, Gary. You're in there. You got the one leg out of the thing. Your comforter's too heavy. You're dying, right?
It's the worst when the room is too hot. Awful. I hate it.
Exactly. You can switch up your sheets and duvets to something a little breezier, lightweight, and soft with Brooklinen's linen collection. It has a beautiful assortment of colors. Plus, of course, you know, half a million happy sleepers and counting. Of course, we talked about this a million times, but you know that the whole deal here is that they are direct to consumers. That means there's no middleman. Brooklinen works right with the manufacturers and then sells right to you. That's why you get luxury sheets and linens without the luxury markup. They've got 12 beautiful new linen colors and patterns to choose from. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer to my listeners. Get 10% off and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get 10% off and free shipping is to use the promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever. Gary, we're going to start with the 2038 Pokemon CEO who writes in with a question for you. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, of course. Gary, we've been talking about movie actors in video games all week. I don't entirely comprehend your job as a screenwriter. Does it include casting? Let's assume the same process applies to game. Greg, feel free to modify. Gary, you're casting for a game. Do you lean towards someone who has a passion for the franchise/games or someone who fits your vision? Greg joked, do you check their trophy level? Casting for Rogue One, did Gareth Edwards quiz cast members on Star Wars? Does the film industry care if an actor is a fan of their series? Should the same apply for our medium, or are we gatekeeping? So first things first, Gary Whitta, screenwriter, you have no power over casting.
No.
Of course not.
So sometimes, occasionally, depending on my relationship with the director and the producers, they might ask my opinion informally, but I have no actual say.
Gotcha. And so then...
In television... I do. In film, I do.
Really? I didn't know that.
Writers have much more power in television than they do in film. Okay. Much more creative equity.
So, like, basically, if you write a character and you come in and I feel like this character is going to be a person X, it's going to be an Isaac person. I don't know. Isaac. Who's the guy? Poe Dameron. It's going to be Poe Dameron, whoever played
Oscar
him.
Isaac.
Yeah, that's a guy. I feel like I wrote this guy with Oscar in mind. They might go, okay, cool, but then obviously not do something.
Yeah, I will often do that. I will often say... you know, this was, I had this kind of person in mind when I was writing it, and you know, here are my ideas, and they'll listen to them. They won't actually say to me, fuck you, you don't get to, you know, give us your ideas. Sometimes they do. But like on Rogue One, I did have casting suggestions.
Nice. You put my name in there, right?
I mean, like Saw Gerrera, Gareth and I both always kind of knew from the beginning that we wanted Forest Whitaker.
That's awesome.
And that, you know, and we got him. In terms of Jin and other characters, you know, I had ideas and stuff, but you know, ultimately that decision is made way above my pay grade.
Sure. So then now put on your hypothetical hat. You're casting a game.
Yeah.
Do you care if they are fans of video games, if they're fans of the franchise?
I mean, I think it can, I think it's a nice bonus, but no, No, it doesn't matter. You want the best actor for the role. I mean, you know, some of the, I mean, look at it in terms of like, you know, Star Wars and like, I mean, I would say like some of the greatest actors in the MCU weren't necessarily big fans of the comics. I think they probably discovered, and once they got the job, they probably went off and read a bunch of comics and learned about the characters.
Yeah.
But they didn't necessarily come. Some did, some didn't. But I don't think, also in terms of like whether or not it makes a better performance, I don't think it makes a blind bit of difference.
Agreed. I think one of the things we've not confused as we've gone on, but the arguments evolved into, because it was the idea that actors are coming in, right, and just reading lines. I don't even think that is so much the fault of the actor, right? It depends when they're brought into a process and what a AAA video game developer is looking for, right?
Yeah.
I think you can point to so many people who come in and kill it, right? Andy Serkis was great in Volume. That's because Mike Biffle worked with him and explained the project and wanted to do it. If you look at, I'm not even going to name names, but if you look at somebody who is a big movie star who came to be in a game and they gave a crappy performance, you assume it's got to be to an extent that they were cast at the last second.
I mean, I guess you can make the argument that if somebody was really, really into a particular character or something, that they're more likely to kind of really kind of throw themselves into the role. But like, I mean, to use one of the most famous examples, I don't know this. I actually don't know the answer to this, but I'm guessing that Robert Downey Jr. had no fucking idea who Tony Stark was before they offered him that, before that part came to him.
Sure.
Didn't, I mean, and he was brilliant in that role. So, you know, who cares?
It's similar to, you watched Retro Replay, of course, another YouTube channel that has more subs than us almost and is crushing us. They're our friends. We helped them, but now they're crushing us. If you go over there, like what? Troy and Nolan are playing through the Uncharted games for the first time. Nolan.
He never played the games?
No. Nathan Drake. He's never played the games himself. So he's sitting there playing through on Retro Replay. It's great. The Nanobiologist writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, Happy Widow Wednesday. Another leak got shot down, but this time by the original poster. He's referencing, did you see this? There was a, for a hot second, that aliens were coming to Red Dead 2 or whatever.
I did not see that.
And people started flipping
out. That was a thing?
Yeah, but I mean, like, it was so fast that I doubt you even had a chance to.
Okay.
But why do leaks catch on so easily and spread so quickly? Is the hope of new information about a beloved game like Red Dead 2, with people clamoring for new solo story content, or like WoW? Should developers take on the Marvel announcement model and put out the roadmap out there, also like Marvel's Avengers or like Division 2, so fans know exactly what they are getting and to be excited for finer details of a patch DLC? Thanks, Nanobiologist. Rumors catch on, of course, because rumors have been true so many times. And I think we all do clamor. I mean, this show is, you know, in some way based on the breaking news and the conversation. We love talking about games, all of us, you included, best friend listening right now. And so when something breaks and it seems true enough, or it's got a screenshot, or it's from a backroom GameStop poster that has a release date on it, we all get excited because we're excited for announcements. We are excited for excitement. We're excited for video games. And since games take so long to get made, it is that thing of seeing little bits and pieces and getting new beats are exciting. I personally think The Division 2's done really well in terms of laying out a roadmap, but then also there's an argument to be said of, by laying out the roadmap and being so transparent and explaining and pushing dates around, have they hurt the excitement of it? Yesterday, you know, episode 1 for Division 2 dropped, Outskirts of DC stuff. I jumped on last night after I did some homework for We Have Cool Friends today and popped on, and the kind of funny clan wasn't popping off. There was a few people on, but it wasn't like everybody was back. Would that have been a bigger deal if they did a trailer out of the blue yesterday and said it's coming, or and it's today? Would it have been a bigger deal if we knew nothing and we were all hungry for more Division? Or is it the fact that we've been talking about the bullet points for a while now where it's like, all right, cool, I'll get to it when I get to it kind of thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have the answers. And the same thing for, like, I think, you know, we look at the, you know, the MCU panel, right, from Comic-Con. Here's Phase 4. It's all the way through 2021. That is awesome, and that is a cool thing. And I know there has been a conversation lately through the internet and the pundits being, hey, why do movies do this and games don't do this? And I think it's a little bit apples and oranges in the way that how you hear once in a while, right, about a video, Star Wars 1313, visceral Star Wars game, and not just Star Wars, I'm not just bagging on Star Wars. For every game you hear about that got announced and canceled, there are dozens of games you never knew about that were really far along that got canceled. And so that's why it's such a pain in the ass that you can sit there and show early test footage of Black Widow, right? And be like, this movie's going to be fun. You're going to really enjoy it. But if you sit there and show early block work of a video game that's 3 years out, you don't know if that game's going to turn out to be fun, nor if that game's going to be the same vision by the time it gets there. And I think that's the problem. Games have been shown so early before that they've been burned so many times before.
And honestly, you can lay out all the roadmaps and do all the early reveals that you want. It's never going to stop trafficking in rumors. Whatever it is you reveal, there'll always be more stuff that people can manufacture. Look, you know, the truth, the lie gets halfway around the world before the truth can put its pants on and all of that stuff. Yeah. We live now in an era of fake news. The truth doesn't matter anymore. There's always been, a huge currency on the internet for clickbait headlines and promising, alluring you into your website or whatever with news that you basically just made up.
You won't believe what happens next,
yeah. Yeah, because by the time, I remember this when I was working on Rogue One and when I was working with Lucasfilm, I was paying attention more than I usually would pay attention to like the Star Wars rumor sites. And I knew for a fact, because I was working inside the business at the time, that 99% of the rumors that were coming out there were bullshit. But it doesn't matter. You get the click on the day, which is all that matters. You get your metrics, and then a year later when it turns out to not be true, nobody remembers. So you get away with it every time.
And that's the thing. And if you want to look at like an actual example of what we're talking about, remember when fucking PlayStation came out and was like, hey, we're working with Rockstar on an exclusive, it's called The Agent, right?
For
the rest of that generation into the PlayStation 4, until they finally said like it's dead or whatever, everybody asked, where the fuck's the agent?
Right.
And so, like, that's why you don't get timelines, is because, like, what happens when everything changes and everything shifts and nothing's there? You have to... Yeah. Games, you know, the marketing cycle and announcement to release has gotten shorter and shorter, it seems, recently, because more and more of this is happening, where it's just easier to get out there and be like, this is it. Not to mention, it's easier to keep your attention.
Yeah.
Look at Wolfenstein coming out, right? Everybody's super hyped on Wolfenstein at E3, and now it's the thing of, like, they just put out the launch trailer today. Like, there's been questions this week about where is the marketing for Wolfenstein? It released on Friday. Nobody's talking about it.
Yeah. I watched the trailer for that last night. It looks great, by the way.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be great. No, I was talking to Jen. I was like, we got to play that this weekend when it comes.
She's
like,
co-op, right. Perfect, right?
Yeah. Gary.
I want to answer this one from Paul Potter.
Paul Potter, a.k.a. Pure Seduction 50, writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, what's up, Greg and Gary? I recently played through Firewatch, and for me, it was one of those rare games where once you pick it up, you just can't put it down. I played through the entire game in one sitting, and I loved every second of it. My question is, have you ever played a game cover to cover in one sitting? If so, what game and what do you think made it impossible to put down?
So for me, the answer is Journey, one of the most transcendent video game experiences I've ever had. Sure. Yeah. When it first came out, I didn't play it right away. I was excited to play it because I liked Flower and the stuff that had come before it. A couple of people who had played it said, it only takes 2 hours to play. It's roughly what it takes to play through. So make sure you play all in one sitting. Take the phone off the hook, which, you know, nobody knows what that means anymore, right?
But,
you know,
DND on your phone.
Yeah, put your phone in airplane mode or DND, whatever. Close the curtains, turn the lights down, and just like imagine and play the game as though you're going to see a movie at a theater. Like, turn the lights down and just immerse yourself in it. And I did that, and I played the game. Like I said, it only takes 2 hours to play.
Yeah.
Journey is still one of my it's probably in my top 10 all-time favorite games, and I've played it many times since then. But the first time that I played it, I played it all the way through, cover to cover, from beginning to end. End credits, and I just thought it was one of the greatest game experiences in my life. What about you?
In a similar vein of short games, Gone Home. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Gone Home, I thought it was so perfectly paced. Yeah. As the story changed from what I thought it was going to be to what it really became, to then I had to know what was happening.
Right.
I think to go, and I've beat the drum about Gone Home for years. Going way back, I mean, I can't remember anymore if Poe and I beat Metal Gear Solid in one sitting. But I remember we started it and we played way into the wee hours in the morning, passing the controller back and forth of just being amazed of what that game was.
Yeah.
And I want to say we did, but it's possible that we ended up just getting really deep. I know we got to Disc 2 for sure, but we got really deep into it. But it was the same thing there. It was another tired Greg story of just playing that game and being like, holy shit, this is what games are now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we're playing a movie. You know what I mean? Like, right. We're playing, this story is so good and you don't know what's going to happen next. And we're so locked into it. Like, that's the hooks for all these games, I think, are an experience you've never experienced before.
Right.
That's what it always comes down to, right? When you're playing something that you're like, I can't believe I'm doing this right now, that I'm a part of this right now, and you don't want to see it end. Josh writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, happy Winter Wednesday! But this is a Greg-centric question, if you don't mind. After years of listening to you talk about trophy hunting, dating all the way back to Beyond, days... Beyond Days. The concept of it has always intrigued me, but I never was able to go all the way in on it, parentheses, largely due to the rigors of college and now pretending to be a real grown-up. Besides, of course, the gimme telltale games. Oh, that's what he got. But after watching it, your 100th Platinum earlier this week, I now want to jump in. So, what advice would you give to a platinum hunting noob? I've been eyeing one of the Sony first party Holy Trinities as my first legit platinum: God of War, Spider-Man, Horizon. Unless, of course, you'd recommend me start somewhere else. Well, Josh, welcome to trying to hunt down trophies and have fun with that. The answer is pick a game you love. Obviously, I think God of War, Spider-Man, Horizon are great picks because those games are awesome. Spider-Man was such a thrill to platinum, and honestly kind of sad to platinum.
Yeah, that's the only platinum I have is Spider-Man, and I have it because I love playing the game so much.
Right, and that was the thing. It was so much fun. I wanted every backpack. I did want to liberate everything. I wanted to, you know, I didn't want that game to end. And so that's the best thing you can do for a platinum when you want to get one.
Yeah, I'm not in any way an expert trophy hunter or achievement hunter like you, but that would be my same advice. I think people that play games just because they want, you know, when you say like easy plat, that's when I worry a little bit, because I feel like you're only playing the games you want. Like, you're probably not enjoying playing the game, you just want the trophy. I feel like if don't play games just to get trophies. Play games because you love them.
Yeah.
Trophies are meant to be a nice bonus. They're not the reason to play the game.
Sure.
I mean, maybe for you they are. I don't know.
For certain ones that are, but I mean, that's just me trying to do that stupid number.
But have you ever got to a point playing a game where like you're just miserable playing the game, but you really want the platinum?
Yeah. Oh my god. But you know what I do is what? I stop.
Right.
You can look at my trophy list, and there's a bunch of games that are like 95%. Not like, you know what right. I mean? Where I just got to Jurassic the Hunted.
Okay.
It was a terrible, it was a bad PS3 game, not terrible, but it was one of those things, like, it was pretty easy to platinum, but there was one trophy I remember playing over and over trying to get it to, and I was just like, you know what, fuck this, I don't want to do this, this isn't fun, this isn't worth my time, like,
yeah.
That's the thing, I've started it, you look at my recent stuff with all the Rattalika games, right, where I've been going through and getting the easy platinums, there was one in there, I think a bird game that I was playing, and I was like, this sucks, I'm not going to play this, I'm not going to struggle to do anything, and I stopped. I don't know what the percent was.
Yeah.
But it does work the other way, where another one of those, Kevin.
Yeah, what's up?
Will you? I mean, I'm already on it. Sorry.
I feel like Josh here is on the right track, because like those three games, God of War, Spider-Man, Horizon, are all phenomenal games. Right? So you're going to enjoy playing them.
It goes the other way sometimes too, though, where again, Rattalika, who we've talked a lot of, they send me codes for the easy ones, and they're the ones who have mastered the system of, they got codes for that, you know, they work on Vita and PS4, they got the UK PS4 one too, so you're getting like triple things, right? One of the games was Metagal, which was like a Mega Man inspired game, and I played through it and platinumed it, and the first time I did it.
Are you looking at the trophies right now?
Yeah, I'm looking at my PSN profile. PSNprofiles.com/gameovergreg if you want to look along. The first one says I got it in 40 minutes, 39 seconds. The second time I did it, I got it in 16 minutes and 19 seconds. So I probably paused on the 40-minute one. However, though, playing the game for platinum, I was like, man, this is fun. I like this. Should I give Mega Man another shot? And so I bought Mega Man Legacy Collection that I didn't already have. I think one and two, and for a flight on Switch. And for the first time ever, I beat Mega Man 2. And I played through it, and I was so it does work where like that game isn't a bad game. It has an easy trophy list, but it was like I'm enjoying myself, and I'd like to actually do more of this stuff. And I went and played those games.
Right.
So it goes both ways sometimes. Right. And then there's plenty of ones that are just garbo game that you're just playing through to get it done, and you get frustrated, but it's not bad enough to stop you. I digress. Gary, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You give me your name, username, platform of choice, why you need help in a video game, and I read it here.
Today, no, Greg, you're actually about to read out a PC game. I'm amazed.
Hey, man, I like to support all gamers.
That's not true.
You know, I give them a lot of good-natured ribbon around here. Just give them the old TurboTax jokes.
This is another game that's very hot on Twitch right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one of the hottest games on Twitch.
David Scott, and he's helping Teamfight Tactics. His, I would assume his Steam name, Demon Waffle.
No, that'll be his League of Legends name. That'll be his Riot, whatever his Riot Games League of Legends account is.
Listen, you dorks, whatever you, however you talk to
Why
each other.
Why would you
know,
Greg?
There.
League of Legends is only one of the biggest games on the planet.
Hey, man, I can ignore it, so I ignore it. Demon Waffle needs help, all one word. Teamfight Tactics. Looking for some other competitive TFT players. Currently Gold 1, about to hit Plat, dork. Would love to play with some other best friends. You guys rock. See, how would I know that's League of Legends?
Dork.
You know what I mean?
Nerd.
It's Teamfight Tactics. Who the hell knows what that is, you know?
I mean, I could tell you.
You're a Twitch superstar. Of course, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to. It's part of your job to know.
That's right. That's why. That's how I know it's
hot
on Twitch.
That's the new mode that got introduced to League.
So you know the two big what they call MOBAs, Dota,
yeah.
Dota 2,
yeah.
The Valve game, and then Riot Games has League of Legends. League of Legends is the big one of the two, but they're both very, very popular. Basically, I think Dota came up. It was a mode called Auto Chess. It's kind of like it's a different mode of play. It's a very different kind of game, but it's sprung into its own thing. I believe with Dota 2, it's just called Dota Auto Chess. And League of Legends has their own version called Teamfight Tactics, which is very, very popular right now. A lot of Twitch streamers are into it. I haven't played. I'm not a League of Legends guy, but I know it's a thing. I know it exists, and it's hugely popular right now.
Okay.
Teamfight Tactics.
Teamfight Tactics. Demon Waffle, if you want to play with a demon who's made of waffle. D-E-M-O-N. Waffle. Time for You're Wrong. This is where people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames tell us what we screwed up as we screwed up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later. Ark Wing says, just for the friend code clarification, the Wii U did not have friend codes. It was username based.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I don't either, but I turned on the Wii U twice and I was like, this sucks.
Yeah. Maybe I'm mixing up because the 3DS had friend codes, right?
Yes, that's where I was using the UPC.
Yeah, thing, yeah, yeah. Right?
Or the QR code. I keep screwing up. Whatever. Well, we already said this, I think, but Lord of Pwn says Control launches August 27th, for those wondering. Charles J says, not You're Wrong, but related to games. And Gary.
Hmm?
Rutger Howard?
Yeah.
Has passed away at 75 years old.
Oh, that's terrible. I'm so sad to hear that.
In
I love
games, he was recently in Kingdom Hearts 3 and Observer.
And the Observer, yeah.
Oh, but more known for the original Blade Runner.
Of course. And many great movies.
Hmm.
Well, yeah. Oh, how sad.
Yeah, there you go. Passed away. Sorry, everybody. Sorry to break it to you and you're wrong. I jump in sometimes. Nanobiologist says, we missed the news that Corsair has bought Origin PC. I did not see that. Good news. Good fit. Good in there.
I'm gonna give you a quick recommendation.
Please do.
Rutger Hauer is in a movie that you may or may not have seen called Blind Fury.
I haven't.
And it's one of my favorite Rutger Hauer movies. Can we pull a trailer for Blind Fury?
Yeah.
Kevin? It's one of my favorite Rutger Hauer movies. He plays a blind swordsman.
Okay.
So when I was writing a Book of Eli, Zatsuichi was the big influence, but there's actually a little bit of Blind Fury in there as well. It's a really cheesy kind of 80s movie, but it's a lot of fun. And if you want to, when an actor dies, sometimes you go binge their movies.
Of course, yeah.
Everyone's going to be watching Blade Runner tonight and shit like that. But check out Blind Fury. Let's pull the trailer. Here it is. 1 minute and 38 seconds.
Watch the trailer.
Is that
Rutger Hauer right there?
That's a young Rutger Hauer, yeah.
Wow. I'm sad. He was awesome in Smallville, and I'm not making a joke.
Oh, you just now figuring out who you just
I don't know Blade Runner.
What?
I've never seen Blade Runner.
Just run the trailer. We'll talk about this later. Barrett's not happy.
Barrett's confused, as always.
You ever seen this movie, Barrett? Blind Fury? It's a favorite of mine. I'm gonna see if I can pull this on digital tonight and rewatch it.
He ripped it off. Nick Parker is quick as a snake,
strong as a bull. You're gonna love this movie. Not to mention blind as a bat.
Nice doggy.
It's not a dog.
Right, he doesn't know, right? Because he's like Mr. Magoo. Holy shit. He came for a friendly visit. This movie is so much fun. Blind man. But his timing was a little off.
A young boy wants his guidance. Did you ever cry?
The strong man is never afraid to cry.
They've got him, don't they?
Where's my son?
He's here. He's fine.
And the boy's father needs his help.
I miss old school trailers like this.
No, yeah, totally. Reasonable men make life so difficult.
Shoot! The blind Zorro! If you can't handle it, get me somebody that can.
He was in Roadhouse, wasn't he?
That guy right there.
Yeah, use the exercise trampoline.
Oh, yeah.
Ninja stuff.
He has to fight like a fucking hardcore ninja guy at the end of the movie.
I also do circumcision. Blind Fury.
Telling you, that movie is the shit. I'm gonna see if I can find it on iTunes or something later tonight. Maybe it's on Netflix or whatever.
I'll look it up.
God, yeah.
But yeah, I'm always sad
when somebody dies, I didn't know that I knew the guy.
I don't want to get into a big thing with you, but how come you've never seen Blade Runner?
In Smallville, he was Morgan Edge. When Clark was on Red K, and he got him to work with him, great. Eventually, they couldn't get Rutger Hauer anymore, though, so they had to change. He did plastic surgery to change his face so they could bring in some other no-name guy. Blade Runner, I've never seen, because every time somebody's like, you should watch Blade Runner, I'm like, all right, cool, I'll look it up. They're like, well, there's 15 versions. And the version you should watch, but cut this off and do that thing.
Would you like me to bring in my Blu-ray of the final cut, which is the version you should watch?
Sure.
Okay.
Is that the one with the unicorn?
They all have that.
We're going fast now for You're Wrong. Nanobiologist says the Pokemon that spawned in Central Park was Vaporeon. as well as a Venusaur later on. Great, good to know.
No, sounds like it looks like Blind Fury is available to rent on most platforms, yeah, so that's good.
We'll check that out. Nanobiologist says, missed today. Kingdom Hearts VR Experience Part 2 is out today and adds the world finally that never was in Twilight Town. Lord of Pwned says, missed dates. EA Access is now available on PS4. Also, Destiny 2's Solus of Heroes starts back up July 30th. Zaxxon says, Moonlighter is also 50% off on Steam right now. I thought we talked about that yesterday, so I'm cutting away. Blackjack says, Rockstar never officially announced that the agent was canceled. News that they abandoned the trademark came out November 24th, 2018, which led everyone to assume it's been canceled. Thank you.
You got something to add, Barrett, or are you just taking a seat?
He's got to get ready to flip this.
Oh, right.
Nanobiologist says Dota 2's auto chest is called Dota Underlords.
Dota Underlords. Okay. Auto chest is just the generic name for that subgenre. Yeah.
And that's it.
Hey, we did it.
Not too shabby.
Another one in the books.
Crushed it. You know what I'm talking about over there? Thank you to Xavier Woods for calling in to pimp his own stuff during the show.
I was really good.
If you know me and you're a YouTube person, don't do that.
Now that I know that's something you can do.
I'll do it for you because I call you all the time.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of it. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. Right now, you can get early access to the Mario Maker Party mode over there, along with posting your questions up. Watch it live, twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. Watch it later, youtube.com/KindaFunnyGames, roosterteeth.com. Listen on podcast services around the globe. Tomorrow, special guest hosting with me, Davis from the Warp Zone. Then Friday, Tim. Remember, tomorrow also is the Kind of Funny Games cast, 2:30. You can watch it on youtube.com/KindaFunnyGames as we record it with me, Tim, Andrea, and Davis. Gary, when are you streaming again?
Stream last night. I don't know. Maybe I stream whenever I feel like it.
Cool.
That's maybe great. Tonight.
That's turn great on notifications for twitch.tv/GaryWitta.
twitch.tv/GaryWitta. Toss me a follow and turn on the little notifications. You'll get a notification when I go live.
Because if you're not making moves,
you're standing still. You can also join my partnered verified Discord server.
Wow.
Discord.gg/LOG. Got the vanity URL. We got it all hooked up. Did you see that? By the way, did you see the clip where fucking Kinda Cool Greg barreled into my
stream
the other night?
I saw that he won some game or something. Yeah, I play
this game sometimes on the channel called Marbles on Stream. Have you seen this?
No.
This thing's hilarious. It's basically like Marble Madness.
Yeah.
But anyone in the Twitch chat, you should play on a, you should do like a Twitch
okay
party. It supports up to 500 players.
Jesus
and I think
Christ.
You could actually fill it out with, you know, your big audience.
Sure.
You should play Marbles on Stream sometime on Kinda Funny.
Okay.
I'll come in and help you run it.
Perfect.
I'll run the camera for you because I know how to run the camera.
Awesome.
Play Marbles on Stream. Kinda Cool Greg was blazed. Came into the chat about 2 o'clock in the morning. We did a 6-hour stream. He had no idea what the fuck was going on. Entered the game and won it. His first time. I had no idea what the fuck was even going on. He's like, holy shit, I won it. And was like, typical Kinda Cool Greg.
Perfect. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.